I'm Heather.
And I'm Corey.
And this is Movie Shelf, where we talk about movies, movie trivia, and just about anything related to pop culture. We're glad you're here. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? You guessed it. We are talking about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. We'll also be talking about some picks of the week. And of course, we'll enjoy a side of bacon.
Bacon.
All right, so A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is set up basically kind of like an episode of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
complete with some miniatures and puppets and transitions. Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks, even just opens the film singing the song, switching to his cardigan and his sneakers.
And by the opening of the regular show.
Yes. Introducing us to a good friend of his. Which I think his name was Lloyd in the film. And essentially this movie continues talking about the friendship between Fred Rogers and this journalist. And essentially this journalist was initially known or infamously known for...
For doing exposés.
Yeah, kind of exposing
things. Dirt on people and...
Yeah. So Lloyd, the journalist, he is assigned essentially a puff piece. He's assigned to interview Rogers for this Heroes piece that the Esquire magazine is working on.
Which in general, he just despises having to do.
Yeah, he likes to do the dig up the dirt kind of stories.
Yes.
And so when Rogers takes interest in Lloyd, the piece moves well beyond the original 400-word assignment. The movie is based on the real life friendship between Fred Rogers and journalist Tom Junod, or however you pronounce his name. But in the movie, the journalist his name was Lloyd, and I think some of his backstory story is a little bit fictionalized, just to kind of create the story.
Or it could be that all those things really did happen, but maybe not in the short span that the movie takes place, possibly. So.
Perhaps. Although he said he didn't ever hit his, or get into his fight with his dad at like a sister's wedding or something like that. But I think that the journalist, Tom Junod, did say that, you know, while maybe not all those events happened, the gist of the friendship was very genuine and accurate.
And the emotions of the relationships involved. So I just want to quickly interject to the audience that for anybody that may think that this is like a documentary on Mr. Rogers and a show, you could not be more off.
Right.
Because this show kind of, you know, it's about Mr. Rogers, but it kind of takes a dark turn pretty early in the movie. You're like, whoa, okay, so this is where the movie is going.
Right.
And it's nothing of what you would expect in a good way.
Yeah. So it's not a biopic on Fred Rogers. In fact, it's primarily a story
almost more so about the journalist than Mr. Rogers himself and how Mr. Rogers helped him through this difficult time.
And as we mentioned, Tom Hanks, he is playing Fred Rogers. He does a fabulous job.
And as we were kind of discussing amongst ourselves before we started recording this piece that... Tom Hanks, just going on a side note, Tom Hanks has had quite a history of playing a lot of real people.
Yes.
I think we like got it to like 10 or something like that as far as real people that he's played. And he's probably played more real people than probably any other actor that we can think of.
All right. And we'll get into more of that in our picks of the week.
Ah, okay.
As well.
Oh, is that what you base it on? Gotcha.
Yeah.
I jumped ahead there. Sorry.
You did. But the journalist in the film, Lloyd, he was played by Matthew Rhys, I'm going to go with, or maybe it's Rhys. The journalist's dad in the film was played by Chris Cooper.
Actor that I love.
Yes. The journalist's wife in the film was Susan Kelechi Watson. And I think we mainly know her from This Is Us. She plays Randall's wife.
Okay.
And I love the fact that I think we... both went into the film with the same, like, bracing ourselves with the same mentality that she commented on when she learned that Lloyd was going to be doing this article, and she's like, please don't ruin my childhood.
Don't destroy my hero, my childhood hero, yeah. Please.
So I think we both went into the film kind of with that, bracing ourselves, like, don't destroy anything. You know, we love Mr. Rogers.
And this is not a spoiler or anything, but kind of early in the movie when he is, like, interviewing Mr. Rogers, he thinks there's this distinction between Mr. Rogers, the person, and the person that he plays in the show. Mm-hmm. And what he has to have Lloyd realize, no, I'm not playing a person when I'm on the show. It's just me.
Going into kind of our likes and dislikes, first off, I'm going to preface, and I think we're both on the same page, I don't think we really had any dislikes with this film. It was just a great film.
It really was.
So I adored the fact that the film was set up kind of, to some degree, like an episode of Mr. Rogers, like we kind of already talked about with the opening. And throughout the film, there were always these little miniature transitions.
So whenever they're showing outside landscapes of, like, city and neighborhoods, it's done very well. You almost have to double look at it like, are they doing that with miniatures? With little toys? Because it looks so good. But some of it is obviously playful. Like, you know, when the plane's taking off and landing, that's kind of cute.
So we had the miniatures, we had the puppets, we even had picture-picture where we learned how magazines were made, which I thought was fascinating.
And that was just like a throwback to, like, one of his episodes for sure.
But it was also a great way to introduce Lloyd.
Yes.
So when we're first introduced to Lloyd, Mr. Rogers talks about his friend being hurt. And then we learn more about him.
In fact, when he's doing that also, he kind of asks the audience, you know, that, have you ever felt anger toward, you know, he starts talking about anger a little bit right there from the start. He goes, have you ever felt anger toward someone else, like, to the point you would want to hurt them? And it was really surprising to hear Mr. Rogers say, I know I have. It's like, you, Mr. Rogers? But, you know, I guess it'd be unrealistic to think that anybody has not had those feelings at, you know, some point in their life. Have you ever felt like you ever wanted to hurt someone, Heather?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm sure there's that boiling anger that happens. And, like, I remember being, like, when I was much younger and I was just so angry at who knows what. I'm sure it was something trivial. but I was so angry. I remember, like, having to, like, throw my brush against the room, like, against my room, my bedroom. Just something. And actually, between you and I think there was just one time where I just had to, like, scream. Like, because all the buttons to push. And
what? Okay, so was your brush throwing incident, was that before or after meeting me?
Oh, that was well before. That was, like, when I was in high school or middle school.
That wasn't because of me, okay.
No, there's been other things because of you. So we're kind of introduced to anger, and we learn about Lloyd, and we start seeing how he feels, and, you know, how he feels on the inside rather than letting the outside shape our impression of him. We might automatically assume certain things about him, but then as Mr. Rogers is kind of explaining what's going on, we learn maybe why he's feeling this anger and what that really means. This isn't a story, as we talked about before, of the life of Mr. Rogers. Instead, it's this moment in the lives of these two individuals and how Lloyd was able to let go of his anger and see the beauty in his life.
Yes.
Which was, it was just really cool to see that transition, and they did a fabulous job with it. I think it was that idea of someone who needed help, who probably didn't even realize he needed help, and all of a sudden got put on the Mr. Rogers train and, you know, never wanted to get off. You know, he just had to kind of figure it out and, you know, like, is this person for real kind of thing?
And at first he was hating it. At first he was hating being on the Mr. Rogers train.
You know, he's very skeptical. He's like, something's got to be wrong.
Yeah, you can't really be like this.
Kind of like as you commented before, where he kind of questioned that separation idea between character and real life. As we mentioned, Lloyd is assigned a simple story, and it seems like from the very first phone call with Rogers, he becomes absolutely fascinated and chooses to become engrossed. It was really interesting, that first phone call. I think somehow Fred Rogers had gotten a message that Lloyd wanted to talk with him.
And sure, he probably did a little research on who is this, writer. Yeah.
And, so he calls Lloyd back, and Lloyd, in very business style says, "Oh, great. Well, when can I schedule a time to talk with you?" And Mr. Rogers is like, "Well, I'm talking to you now."
We're talking right now.
And I just thought that was so interesting because I think in life we, especially me, I'm all about like, let's schedule a time to talk. Let's schedule looking forward, looking ahead, and sometimes forgetting to think about the right now.
Is right now a good time?
And we talked about this a little bit before. But I feel like Lloyd was just trying to figure out Mr. Rogers, kind of look for the crack, look for that darkness somewhere.
Yeah, he's looking for some flaws of
to break through the facade that most everyone has, but he couldn't.
He's like, "Your show is a front. I'm going to find out the real scoop on you," type thing.
And instead, he just found a truly loving, real man. In the movie, Lloyd has a rift with his father. He has nothing but anger to give him. He's unable to forgive him. And this anger, he sees through his encounters with Mr. Rogers, seeps into all aspects of Lloyd's life.
There's another interesting moment where they're kind of getting a little bit more heart-to-heart with each other. But I think still Lloyd's a little suspicious, but he kind of goes. He says something along the lines of, "I cannot imagine that it would have been easy growing up with a father or having you as a father, with that kind of reputation." And it's kind of common to where a lot of people would have maybe taken a little bit of offense to. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Rogers kind of pauses, thinks about it, and looks at him and goes, "Thank you. I never thought of it from that perspective before."
Yeah, which is so funny to watch the journalist Lloyd, because I think he was ready for Fred Rogers to go on the defensive cracking.
It was almost like he was trying to poke the bear, but oddly, the bear appreciated the scratching of an itch, it's like, "Oh, thank you," for that poke.
And so going back to Lloyd and kind of the things that he's learning as he's interacting with Fred, and, I think he realizes that all this anger that he has actually seeped into his life and is affecting his life. And then by the end of the film, you see him making different and better choices. I'm sure it's not an easy switch to flip off. I mean, those feelings are still there and he still has to process some of that anger. But at the same time, now he's recognizing that that anger is causing this. So let me start making some better choices in these parts of my life. Otherwise, I'm going to be the same as my dad or something like that.
So, I don't want to delve too much into this, but, both my parents have passed. My dad passed away, several years ago. And I'm the last of 7 kids. And, I'm a little ashamed to say that when at his funeral and everything, I'm pretty sure I was the only kid who didn't shed a tear. I even looked at my other brothers and, at some moment they all had a tear moment. I didn't have one because I was, I had a lot of past anger with my dad. And not to go into too much detail, but a couple of movies that kind of sums up how I, at the moment, how the kind of guy that felt he is, or the relation that we had. If you were to watch Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino or Chris Cooper's October Sky, if you were to see those movies, you'll get a pretty good gist about, my feelings towards my dad. And going through this movie, because, Mr. Rogers helped Lloyd kind of re-examine his relationship with his dad and, all the anger that he has towards him, it kind of has me or had me kind of reflect, you know, why am I holding on to all this anger still? Mm-hmm. So it has kind of caused me to take a moment of self-reflection in my own life, mm-hmm. as to kind of re-examine, you know, some of my feelings and, you know, and that, you know, are they the best feelings to have and probably not, and what I should probably start doing about them. And so, you know, I think this movie is probably going to have a similar effect to a lot of people who probably has some issues to go through and so forth. And I think this is a movie that could possibly start a helping point for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right, Corey, what's the verdict? Does it make the movie shelf or not?
Well, because this movie kind of pulled on some personal heartstrings of mine and kind of hit me on a personal level, it's definitely up on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. I said yes as well. It's a unique film with plenty of great relevant lessons to be learned. We got to watch it on January 1st, and I felt that it's a great movie to watch to kick off, you know, the new year. So if you haven't seen it, I do recommend that you go ahead and see it kind of when you're in that new year, maybe trying to make some changes and things like that. But no matter what, whenever you are desiring to watch it, I just recommend you go see it and live a beautiful life.
And I'd say this is definitely one of the movies on my list to where it's a good movie to watch when you need a good pick-me-up.
Yeah. Or when maybe you need to get a refresh on some life lessons.
Yeah, it's like some other movies that kind of in a similar category. You know, when I feel like my life just can't get any worse, you watch Pursuit of Happiness. And you watch that movie, it's like, wow, my life is not that bad. Until I'm sleeping with my kid in a Subway public restroom, your life is not that bad yet.
That is true. Although I think the nice thing about this particular movie is that it does kind of offer some lessons to learn. Oh,
definitely,
learn.
Definitely.
So on that note, I wanted to kind of go over some of the lessons learned from the film. All right, so I do have kind of a bullet list of these lessons. So my first one that we've been kind of talking about a lot already is to don't hold on to anger. Or find a healthy outlet for your emotions. In the movie, he kind of gave an example of, you know, the piano bang. And which I thought was kind of interesting. And I'm curious if my parents would even think about it whenever they get to see the film. But, you know, I took piano lessons growing up. I know you did too. I'm not sure how your behavior was as you were practicing your piano. But for me, I'd be practicing, playing along, and then if I, like, missed a note, and usually if I missed it, like, consistently or something, like, at some point, I just do a bang on all the keys and start over.
Get that frustration out.
Yes. So I definitely can understand the banging on the piano. So the next lesson that I think kind of carried through the movie is to choose your words carefully. You know, he emphasized to pause and think before you speak. And I think this was very evident in the example you gave when the journalist trying to kind of poke at him, asking about his relationship with his children. And, you know, Fred paused, thought, and then gave an answer.
Definitely. Yeah, there's definitely a, you know, like, I'm going to kind of think about that for a moment before just spitting out an answer for sure.
Yeah. And the nice thing is he was able to give an answer without any negative emotion. If anything, he found some positive in it. The third lesson that I have on my list, lesson learned, is to be engaged, whether it's from one-on-one conversations or to life in general. And I think one of the examples of that was one we've already talked about with the phone conversation where Fred calls the journalist back. The journalist is trying to kind of schedule another time to talk with him. And he's like, I'm here right now. So let's talk. And, you know, it's just that idea to focus your attention on who you're with. Somewhere in the movie, Fred Rogers makes the comment that, you know, you're my most important person at this moment in time.
It's like, You know what the most important thing to me is right now? What was that? Talking to you.
And that's a really important thing to think about, that, you know, just to know that you have that person's undivided attention. And I mean, how often do you talk to people, or even probably to me, and I might be like halfway thinking about something else or exactly. engaged in something else.
You're talking to the person, but that conversation with that person is on your back burner right now. But you got other things in the front burner that you're trying to process.
I'm sure our daughter can say I do that every so often, because every so often she'll like ask me, like, did you hear me? Because I just had a whole conversation with you. So have to remember to be engaged and focus our attention. All right. So the next lesson learned is to pray by name. So obviously Fred Rogers is a Christian, but I think
he was actually a pastor.
Yes. I think he was even Presbyterian.
And I don't think a lot. I grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and I did not know that about him. So, you know, that was interesting.
But regardless of your religion or your faith, I think everyone has some component of prayer, whether it's, you know, so anyway, so whatever you consider a prayer to yourself, praying by name is very interesting. Again, it's focusing that attention to those around you, those in your life. And I think that's very important. I know watching my mom as I grew up and going to our church, there's a moment in church where there are prayers that are given by name. And my mom will write down those names, and she will then spend the next week praying for those individuals. All right, so the next lesson learned is to be genuine. And I think this was evident with the idea of that there's no separation between Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers, that he is one and the same. The ideals he teaches on his show are the ideals he lives every day, which is really important. I think sometimes, you know, you might have your work self, your home self, you know, or, you know, your buddy self, you know, and sometimes, you know, you're not the same person in all these different groups. So being genuine, I think, is very important so that people can trust you. All right. So the next lesson learned is to look for the good or the beauty in the world. And I think sometimes you might have an experience, or you might go somewhere or do something, and you might just notice all the smudges of life instead of noticing the good that's happening. I remember previous coworkers, and a coworker was talking about a trip he went on, and there was some hiccups along the way, but he was, the whole time, you could tell he was finding joy in everything. He wasn't complaining as he was describing these hiccups. And another coworker made the comment that she was impressed by that, because she'd probably be complaining about all these hiccups. And that would be the focal point, and she wouldn't be finding necessarily the joy or the beauty. So I think that's definitely important, because otherwise you might get bogged down on those hiccups or on that negativity if you can't just see what the good is.
Yeah, don't be a Debbie Downer. No offense to any of the Debbies out there.
All right. So our next lesson learned is to remember those who made you. Mm. And this is one of my favorite scenes of the film. And it's a scene where Fred and the journalist, they're in a restaurant, and Fred asks the journalist to take a moment to think about everyone who made you. And, you know, and that includes people that he might be frustrated with, like his dad.
I mean, because even bad experiences in our lives develops our character. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times bad experiences can develop our character for the better a lot of times.
And I think the goal was to think about the people who made you and think about the love that's there as well. And it was a very touching scene of the movie, because of what happens in the restaurant. So I don't want to completely spoil it.
Well, I'll just summarize and say, very rarely do I experience a moment of reverence of that level in a movie.
Yeah.
So that was very, very
It was very cool. It became engaged. It became interactive.
Very.
Yes. It was like a Mr. Rogers episode.
Yes. It was almost as though his attention was taken off of Lloyd and to you, the person who's watching the movie. Mm-hmm. So that was really something.
And also, it was kind of cool because you do see a few people in the restaurant. And I looked up later. Apparently, some of the other people in the restaurant was one. And I think her name is Joanne, but Fred Rogers' wife, she was in there, like in the real life wife. And the real life, McSpeedy, right?
Yeah, the mailman.
The mailman.
That was always on his show.
And then the real life producer, I think Bill Eisler, I think. They were all there as kind of restaurant goers. And as making cameo appearances, I guess. So definitely look out for that scene because it was our favorite. Or it was my favorite. I assume it was maybe one of your favorites. My last lesson learned is to be kind and be a good neighbor. Because I think sometimes we just kind of go about our life thinking only inwardly and internally on ourselves, and we're forgetting about the world around us. Which I thought was interesting because right after we saw the film, we went across the street to have lunch, and you struck up a conversation with our restaurant or our table neighbor.
And, and sometimes when you do that, it can be end up being a really good experience. And sometimes, it's like, okay, they're going to be like that. And, that's just fine. Like the movie we just saw yesterday, I tried to start a conversation with the people that we were sitting to, and they just like.
Okay, they totally ignored you.
Yeah, I didn't even address the person. It's like, okay, that's fine.
They're like, this man is just talking. We're just going to ignore. It was during the previews, I believe. So he was not interrupting them during the movie.
No, but it's like, oh no, the stranger's talking to me. I'm just going to stare for it and ignore.
Let's talk about what's coming soon that is kind of on our radar from the previews that we saw at this film.
Okay.
So the first one is In the Heights. And this is the cinematic adaptation of the musical In the Heights, I believe. Okay. So I think it's by the same people that did Hamilton in some sense. Don't necessarily quote me on that. And the only person I can remember that's in it is... Jimmy Smits, because I was like, oh, he's in a movie. So anyway, it looks like it looks really good. It looks like they're gonna be doing a good job with it. It looks like it will come out at a time when we just need to remember some of those lessons as well and all that good stuff. Okay. So the other preview that we want to mention is The Call of the Wild.
Okay, so this looks interesting, and it already has a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, but hopefully I'll get over it. Because to a degree, I can understand why they're doing this. Because dogs, for you dog owners, you just know that there are some moments where your beloved canine just does these amazing facial expressions and awkward moments, and it can almost be impossible to get all these cute expressions that they do so often on cue. Mm-hmm. So this is the, based on, I assume, on the book Call of the Wild.
Yeah, but Jack London, I think.
But through the whole movie, there's no real dog. The dog is digital. CGI through the whole movie, which becomes obvious when you see some of the quirkiness of the dog. Because, like I said, no matter how good of a trainer or how good the dog is, quirkiness on cue, I can see it could be just almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I can appreciate the fact that there's a not real CGI dog through the whole movie.
Yeah, but I thought that was a weird choice. Like the moment we saw, you see Harrison Ford and you see this great backdrop of the film because they're in Alaska. Yeah,
the wilderness and the beautiful scenery.
And then you see the dog and it's
just like... And they see a CGI dog.
it's kind of like, when... it's definitely... Definitely steps ahead, but when you watch like the Incredible Mr. Olympic or Limpet or Olympic, the fish movie, which I like, I really like the fish movie. It's Don Knotts, and he's an animated fish in this real world, and so it's kind of like, well, that's interesting, where you have this animated dog in this real world, and it just seems like dog, they, you know, dogs can do so much and they're so great just on their own. Why not just have a real dog? But I guess maybe it's just all the adventures that the dog has to do. I don't know.
It's all those cute quickness, which can be difficult to do on cue.
But as you guys know, we adore dogs, and I'm sure we will check it out.
We currently have three in our small, tiny house.
Okay, so let's talk about our picks of the week for this episode.
And I love the category you got going on here.
Yeah, so we decided, and you teased about it earlier, but we decided that we would go over the real-life people, I guess, that Tom Hanks has portrayed in his movies, or at least relatively real-life people.
Because from our discussion, it seems like he's played more real-life people than any other actor.
Or it seems that way, yes.
Yeah, it sure seems that way.
So we came up with 9 on our list.
All right, and in no particular order except for release order.
Okay. Yeah, in release order. Yeah.
What is that?
Oldest to newest. We're going to start with the first one, and this is A League of Their Own.
Now, there was a real Jim Dugan mm-hmm. in real life, and, you know, we're pretty sure that there's probably a lot of loose liberties taken with the movie, but there was a real person, and, you know, there was the league and everything. So, to some extent, it is based on a true story, but yeah. I'm sure that a lot of the events is there is fictionalized and prettied up and everything, but that is nonetheless one of the ones we're going to start our list with.
We just because we love that movie so much, we decided we wanted to put it on the list.
There's no crying in baseball.
All right, so next we have Jim Lovell in Apollo 13.
Yeah, definitely a real person. Definitely yes. A true story.
And then we have Carl Hanratty. Is that what you said?
Yes.
And Catch Me If You Can.
The FBI agent, yeah, in the Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
And I believe this one, the name Carl, I think, is fictionalized, but the character was based on a real FBI agent part of that case.
Probably the name was changed to protect him.
I don't know about that, but who knows? It was probably changed for them to be able to take liberties. So number 4 on our list is Charlie Wilson in Charlie Wilson's War.
Very interesting movie to watch.
Number 5 on the list is Walt Disney in Saving Mr. Banks.
Man, he's played some really iconic people, by the way. Yeah.
Number 6 on the list, Captain Richard Phillips in the movie Captain Phillips. Number 7, James B. Donovan in Bridge of Spies. Number 8, Captain Charlie Sully Sullenberger in the movie Sully. And I feel like
Miracle on the Hudson.
Yeah. I feel like of all the movies, this is like my least recognizable Hanks film, I guess.
Like, he looks the least like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and acts the least like. He's just, I see more, I guess, of Sully than I do of Hanks.
Which is just a tribute to his acting earlier.
Yeah. And then our last one on the list is Ben Bradley in The Post. So, of this 9, Corey, which is your favorite?
So, probably of these movies, my favorite one to watch over and over just because it's so entertaining is Catch Me If You Can. Yours, Heather?
Yeah, my top pick is Saving Mr. Banks. And I think for me, it's kind of like when we went to see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I think I was expecting it to be one thing and it was something else. And
yeah.
So
yes.
I didn't realize that we're going to have this double story and, you know, like of Colin Farrell and his character. And then, you know, modern day and trying to develop the story of Mary Poppins and things of that nature. So I thought it was a really cool movie and with great actors in it as well. All right, Corey. Now it is time for a side of bacon.
Bacon. I think yours is sizzling more than mine, though.
All right. So from our last episode, we were connecting Adam Driver to Gail Godot.
Yes. Shall I go first?
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm going.
We got the sheet out again.
Yeah, I had to break out the sheet this time. So I'm going from Adam Driver to Channing Tatum in Logan Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Channing Tatum to Pedro Pascal. In Kingsman Golden Circle.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you fans out there, yeah, Pedro Pascal is now the beloved Mandalorian mm-hmm. in the Disney Plus series. And Pedro Pascal to Gal Gadot in the Wonder Woman 1984, which has, I know, it has not come out yet, but I do not remember any rule that you cannot use movies that has not come out yet.
I don't know. That's definite gray area, but that's okay. I'll give it to you. All right, so...
But it's definitely a movie that is coming out, and they're definitely both in there.
It's a little hard for me to see Pedro Pascal in that look because he's blonde in the film and stuff.
Yeah, this is our first time, because we've seen him in several different roles in different mm-hmm. TV shows and movies. And yeah, we've never seen him without black hair before. So it's like, well, it's almost like a sandy blonde. It's like, whoa, okay. Very different look for him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I got it in two movies.
Okay, I tried so hard in two, I could not.
My connecting actor is Tina Fey. Yeah. So we have Adam Driver to Tina Fey, and This Is Where I Leave You, which is kind of a dark comedy. It's Tina Fey and Adam Driver and Jason Bateman. And there may, I don't know if there's another one or not, but they play siblings and their father has died. And the mother, for whatever reason, has decided she wants to do this like Jewish wake, which is like a week long process. So anyway, so dark comedy.
And I think I walked in while you were watching that movie and saw perhaps. A couple of scenes. Yeah. They're like spending a week in the house together.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And they have to like sit on a chair like the whole time while people come and pay their respects. And then, so Tina Fey to Gal Gadot in Date Night. And Gal Gadot was the girlfriend of Mark Wahlberg's character in that film. So,
Didn't I realize she was in that movie.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I've seen that movie, to be honest, but okay.
It's a fun
movie. At least not all of it. I may have just seen a scene or here or two.
So, do you have your bacon for this week?
Well, so, as you said, so it's normally on me to pull the actor from the actual movie that we're reviewing, and there are not a lot of key actors in this movie.
But there's one you really, really, really like.
Well, yeah, the obvious would be Tom Hanks, but I think we've done him before, so I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to go with Chris Cooper.
Mm-hmm. I am going to pull from one of the previews, which was Call of the Wild, and I'll go with Harrison Ford. Hopefully there's not some quickness there.
Yeah, no quick 5-second connection I can think of there.
Although, they both have been in so much, I'm sure it'll be a short connection.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we can both get in two movies, so.
So we have Chris Cooper to Harrison Ford.
Should be a fun one.
Thanks for listening to Movie Shelf.
And if you would, click that subscribe button so you get an alert of our future episodes. And if you're listening on your Apple device, leave us a rating and leave us a comment. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check our show notes page for links to the movies, movie trailers that we talked about, as well as reminders of our bacon. We'll catch you next time, you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.